Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, First Step in God Realization, Text 18. Niyache Vishayebhyo Akshan Manasa Buddhi Saratihi Mana Karmabir Achiptam Subarte Dharayet Diya Niyachet Vishaye Byakshan Manasa Buddhi Sarati Mana karma bir akchiptam Shubarte darayet diya Niyanchet vishaye byokshan Manasa buddhi saratihi Mana karma bir akchiptam Shubarte darayet diya Niyachet vishaye byokshan Manasa buddhi sarati Mana karma bir akchiptam Shubarte darayet diya Manasa buddhi sarati. Sainate dariyat diya. Nichayat vishyabhyakshan. Manasa buddhi sarati. Asitam Subhate Dariyat Diya Manasa Buddhi Sarati Manasa Karma Asitam Subhate Dariyat Diya Niyachet Vishaye Byakshan Mansa Buddhi Sarani Sit down Niyachet Vishaye Byakshan Manasa buddhi sarati Mana karma be achiptam Subarte dariyat diya Vaishnavis Niyate visaye byokshan Manasa buddhi sarati Mana karma byachiptam Subarte dariyat diya Yache misye byokshan Sa buddhi sarati Mana karma byachiptam Shabarte Duryadhya. Niyatse Vishye Byokshan. Manasa Buddhisarati. Shittam. Yadhya. Niyatschet, withdraw. Vishayebhyaha, from sense engagements. Akshan, the senses. Manasa, by dint of the mind. Buddhi, intelligence. Saratihi, driver. Manaha, the mind. Karma bihi, by the fruit of works. Achyuktam, being absorbed in. Shubha arte, for the sake of the Lord. Dharayet, hold up. Diya, in full consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. Purport. The first process of spiritualizing the mind by mechanical chanting of the pranava, omkar, and by control of the breathing system is technically called the mystic or yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishvamrita Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabited with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status, and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in the Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Thus, the mind being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress, even for the disturbed mind. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada is describing the mystic or yogic process, which is also called the Ashtanga or Eightfold Yoga process, as outlined by Patanjali. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning one of the eight stages of this kind of yoga practice, pranayama. But that's only one of the eight practices of this eightfold yoga system. First comes yama, or the negative principles, what you shouldn't do. And then niyama, you know, the positive principles, what you should do. Of course, many of the modern followers of so-called Ashtanga Yoga, they don't pay attention to these initial stages, which are part of the system, like the yama, the negative principles. And these include, on the Ashtanga Yoga side, certain principles. And sort of as Srila Prabhupada is hinting in this purport, there are equivalent practices on the Bhakti Yoga side of the equation. You know, we also have our principles, you know, what we shouldn't do, what we should do. You know, for example, on the the side of the Ashtanga Yoga system, they have as one of their yamas, one of the things they shouldn't do, ahimsa, means no violence to other living things. They have that principle. They have satya, truthfulness, which means, in essence, no lying. No lying. And then they have ashteya, no stealing. They have brahmacharya, no sex life. And then aparigraha, non-possessiveness. One shouldn't be excessively greedy or possessive. So on our side, you know, we have similar principles. No illicit sex. Sex is allowed in the Bhakti Yoga system, in the Grihastha or householder ashram. There is some allowance for it. But otherwise, no illicit sex. And no meat eating. That means ahimsa, in the sense of not killing or causing violence to other living things for the purpose of eating their flesh. So we have our yamas. No eating, meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And then there are the positive injunctions, the niyamas. So on the Ashtanga Yoga side, they have saucha, cleanliness, santosha, be satisfied, you know, tapas, perform austerities, swadhyaya, study the Vedic scriptures, and Ishvari Pranadana, which means, in some sense, recognizing there's a supreme controller and seeing oneself as subordinate to that supreme controller. So, on the side of the niyamas, in the practice of bhakti yoga, we also have this principle of surrender to the Parameshvara, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, swadhyaya. Every day, hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Cleanliness, that's something we also have. Cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, we practice these things. So, in the Ashtanga yoga system, the next thing is asan, sitting in a sacred place. Srila Prabhupada would often point this out, that the asan is meant to be in a sacred place. One is to leave one's home, go to a sacred place, remain there, and not come back. I think I mentioned one time how before I joined the Bhakti Yoga program of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I had this idea that one had to go to some sacred place and sit down in an asan and then meditate, do pranayama, concentrate the mind, and exit the material body, which would burn up in mystic yogic fire. So in my deluded state, you know, I thought, well, where's a sacred place in the United States? And I thought, well, Boulder, Colorado, the Rocky Mountains, that's the nearest thing I could find to the Himalaya. So I got a ticket. I flew into Denver. I got a bus out to Boulder. I walked out of the bus station and I headed for the hills. Started climbing the mountains. I found a suitable place. I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to sit here, fast until death, meditate. I think I lasted about 2 days. Then I went down the mountain, back to the bus station, back to Denver Airport, flew home. And then I went to a Grateful Dead concert and got a copy of Bhagavad Gita from some members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and decided to take up bhakti yoga. Yogi nam api sarvesham mad gatena dravana shravan vachateyo mam same yuktatamo mataha. Verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, that Srila Prabhupada refers to in this purport, but you know, doesn't fully quote, but we all know it. Of all types of yoga, this practice of bhakti yoga is the best. It satisfies Krishna best. So, you know, they have this idea of asana, sitting in a sacred place. So we also have this idea of asan. We're all sitting now in a sacred place, the temple of Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish. And we're practicing our asan here, sitting in this sacred place, hearing the Srimad, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, from asan, after that comes pranayama, controlling the breathing process. So we're breathing, but we control our breathing process by using the breath to vibrate the sacred sounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our process of pranayama, controlling the breathing process. And after this pranayama comes one of the stages that's being mentioned here, pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses from contact with the material sense objects. But in this Ashtanga yoga system, it's an artificial mechanical process. You know, one can try to artificially control the senses, but as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, it's proven in history that it ultimately doesn't work, especially in this present age, you know, the age of Kali, when everyone's minds are so disturbed. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in this purport, you know, the disturbed mind. So we're all victims of that. Our minds are subject to so many disturbances, so it makes it difficult to artificially control the mind and the senses, which a yogi has to do if a yogi is going to be successful. All the senses are grouped around the mind. Manasasthan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the conditioned soul is struggling with the mind, which is surrounded by the senses, and is therefore prakritishtani karshati, struggling in the material condition of life. So, in the process of bhakti yoga, we control the senses by engaging them in Krishna service, dovetailing the activities of the senses. You know, we have our knowledge acquiring senses and our working senses, the gyan indriyas and the karma indriyas. So the gyana indriyas are the sense of sight, hearing, tasting, touching, touching, tasting, smelling, five gyan indriyas. So in the process of bhakti yoga, we engage those senses in seeing the form of the Lord. We engage the ears in hearing the pastimes and teachings of the Lord. We engage the sense of taste and tasting, you know, the prasadam, the sense of smell and smelling the incense and oils that have been offered to the Lord, sense of touch and serving the Lord. So all of the senses are engaged, and the working senses also. You know, the working senses are the voice, you know, for speaking, the hands and arms for organizing, the legs for moving, the organs of evacuation and generation. So they can all be engaged in Krishna's service. Of course, the first step is engaging the mind. Savamanaya Krishna Padaravindayo. First, engage the mind on Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings. And then the other senses will naturally follow. So that is our system for pratyahara, withdrawing the senses from improper engagement with the material sense objects, which keeps the conditioned soul tightly bound to the cycle of birth and death, lifetime after lifetime. So, after that stage of pratyahara, according to the Ashtanga Yoga system, then one is able to engage the mind in meditation. Ultimately, for the mystic yogi on the super soul within the heart, but perhaps not really understanding what the super soul really is. But this meditative stage involves the last three limbs of the Eightfold Yoga process, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Dharana means to concentrate the mind, and dhyana means more or less continuous concentration of the mind. And finally, there's samadhi, complete absorption. But Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport that even sages like Vishwamrita Muni, who had attained this stage of samadhi, were victimized, fell down. Vishwamrita Muni, he was originally a Kshatriya, and you know, he had become envious of a sage, Vasishtha Muni, wanted a Kamadhenu, a spiritual kind of cow, wish-fulfilling cow that this sage Vasishtha had. And, you know, they kind of had a little bit of a struggle, a bit of a conflict about that. And he came up on the short end of the stick, you could say, so he decided he wanted to become a Brahmana so he could have the same kind of power that Vasishtha had, which I guess he was seeing as more power, a better kind of power than the Kshatriya or ruling power that he had. So he performed this eightfold mystic yoga process in order to become empowered like that. And as often happens, Indra, one of the chief demigods, thought, well, he's going to become too powerful, perhaps. So he sent one of his female associates, Menaka, one of the heavenly demigod, beautiful ladies, and you know, she distracted Vishwamrita Muni from his process. Her name was Menaka, and they had a child, Shakuntala. So the point is, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that even one who attains to the stage of samadhi, according to this mystic yoga system, can fall down. So, of course, even if one is on the devotional path, you know, one can fall down. There are also examples like that, like King Bharat Maharaj, yeah, who attained a very high stage of devotional practice, but became attached to the form of a deer and had to take birth as a deer. So that can happen even on the devotional path, so one has to be careful. But so on the devotional path, it says, Adau Shraddha Ata Sada Sangha Ta Bhajana Kriya To Narta Navritti Syat. So there's a similar process. There's some initial faith. One is attracted to enter the association of devotees. One starts to take up the practices that the devotees take up. And by doing that comes a stage of anartha nivritti, where one becomes freed of these unwanted attractions of the material mind and senses. And, you know, that would, you know, be the stage that's kind of being mentioned here, where one becomes able to withdraw the senses from contact with the material sense objects. And then eventually one is able to enter into deeper and deeper stages of devotion, until one attains the stage of prema, pure devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which does involve constant meditation and practice and practical engagement of the senses in the process of bhakti yoga, which in this age is the recommended practice. You know, there are different yugas, different cycles of time. You know, there's Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. So it's said that in the Satya Yuga, the recommended process was, in fact, this yoga meditation system. But in the next stage, the Treta Yuga, the practice of elaborate yajnas or sacrifices was recommended. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, the main system of worship was deity worship. But in the Kali Yuga, the practice of Sankirtan Yajna, Bhakti Yoga, is recommended. So we're following that. Of course, we still do a little meditation, some yajna. Deity worship is very important also in our process, but our main process is Kalautad Hari Kirtanat, the performance of Hari Kirtan. Okay. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Prema Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class. We are not so much advanced, I mean, at least me, in comparison with Vishwamitra Muni. But if you start to be very most advanced, a little bit more advanced, to a little bit higher degree, is it possible even in Kali Yuga then some of demigods like Lord Indra start to be envious to us and start to put some obstacles to our progress.
Is it possible in Kali Yuga? Mm-hmm. I didn't get the last part.
Then demigods like Lord Indra start to be very envious to some devotee, you know, and start to put some obstacles.
Is it possible for us to be envious of?
No. These demigods can also put obstacles to our progress, like the Lord Indra, he put obstacles to Vishwamitra.
Is it possible for?
They can do also to us if we start to be very advanced.
Srila Prabhupada said that Maya is there to test us. It's a thankless task, he said, but you know, that is the price, you know, that we have to pay if we want to enter Krishna's intimate association. Because that's the ultimate goal. You know, in the Upanishads, it says, Raso Vai Sa. Krishna is the source of all rasas. And you know, Srila Prabhupada would say, yes, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. But he said it, that was his translation of this mantra from the Upanishads. Raso Vai Sa. Krishna is the reservoir of all spiritual pleasurable relationships. And that's ultimately what we're aiming at. You know, we want to enter into our constitutional position of having a loving, personal, individual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can imagine that's not easy. You know, if Krishna is going to allow someone into his intimate personal circle of acquaintances and relationships, you know, that personality is going to have to be qualified, not going to cause any kind of disturbance. So by becoming members of this Krishna consciousness movement, we're putting ourselves in the category of candidates for that position. We're applying for that job, you could say. It's not a job, it's a state of existence. But we're putting ourselves in the position of saying we're applying for that post. So we could imagine, it's not very hard to imagine, that we're going to be tested. And just like if anybody, you know, some prominent person is going to accept someone as their personal servant, their personal acquaintance or friend, there's going to be some kind of testing. So it wouldn't necessarily be because the demigods or whatever higher beings there are envious of us. But as part of their duty, they're there to test us in different ways. Now, maybe for somebody else that's striving not to be an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but somebody who just wants to be powerful in a material sense, like another demigod, then you might say they would become envious in the sense of, well, what's this guy trying to do? Come up and take a position like mine, but that's something different. Anything else?
Thank you very much for your class. Just one question that comes to mind. In the course of your talk, you mentioned that in the Ashtanga Yoga system, which Vishvamitra was practicing, he came upon a very beautiful society woman, and he was unable to control his senses, even though he had achieved a considerable degree of control over his senses, his mind, and had achieved many mystic powers. So that shows a limitation in that particular type of yoga. So the question is this, is how can we in the bhakti yoga system, which is a different system and applies different means, how can we protect ourselves from such fall downs, both from the women's side and the men's side? How can we stay clear of all of those things? What does Krishna say or
what does Krishna say?
Well, I'll take any great devotee of Krishna. That'd be fine.
Association of devotees is very important. Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhusanga, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Association of devotees is very important because they will keep you in line. I've found that. staying in the association of devotees who are following the instructions of the spiritual master who has founded their sangha. And in our case, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, staying in the association of devotees who are following the yamas and niyamas laid out by Srila Prabhupada is very important. And just internally I was thinking about the on the freeways here, you're driving your car, and if you veer kind of off to the side, there are these little bumps, on the side. So if your car drifts a little off to the side due to some lack of attention or whatever, you feel the bumps, and then you know you have to make a course correction. So we have our association, we have our rules and regulations. So if we kind of experience internally, that we're having some difficulty, with those rules and regulations and the association, then we can understand we've got to make a course correction and come back to the center of the road, and we'll keep making further progress till we achieve that destination. So Rupa Goswami, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he advised, accept things that are favorable to progress in devotional service, reject things that are unfavorable. So we always have to be evaluating, is what I'm doing is that taking me closer to the goal of becoming an eternal participant in Krishna's Nitya Lila, or is it taking me in another direction? Anything else that occurs to you that might be helpful in that regard?
It might be, but I'm not sure it will be. Well, there's this a verse in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 1857 and 58, in which Krishna pretty much spells it out. And all activities just depend upon me, just depend upon me and work always under my protection, and such devotional service be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. That's the only thing that's when I asked, what do you think with Krishna? And that's the only verse that I could remember.
It's a very good one. Yeah, ultimately everything depends on Krishna's mercy. We shouldn't think, well, yeah, I'm so great. Yeah, I've got control of my senses. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I once read a statement by, you know, Srila Prabhupada where, you know, Srila Prabhupada was more or less saying, you know, you can't think, okay, by my practice, I've become so qualified. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm controlling my senses, I'm controlling my mind, I'm offering this to Krishna, I'm offering that. He said, Krishna, could you say, you rascal, I don't accept it. You know, if you don't have the proper mood, as Krishna was indicating in that verse, yeah, depending on me, on my grace, on my mercy, you know, seeing oneself as Lord Chaitanya prayed in the Shikshastika, as just an atom of dust at your lotus feet. You're humble like the straw in the street, the tree, so on. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna.